The Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Today's subject continues with Christian professionalism. And the question for today is, what makes a good subordinate? And just as pertinent is the question, what makes a good leader? Are you a good leader? Well, then ask yourself the question, am I a good subordinate? Can you take orders and directions as well as give them? Or do you become defensive and argumentative when someone tries to tell you what to do? Today it seems like everyone wants to become a leader. They think that becoming a leader means more money, more possessions, more prestige, and more power. But it also means more responsibility. Being a good leader means that you're also a good subordinate. But being a good subordinate doesn't mean that you're less qualified. It doesn't mean that you are inferior or weaker to another person. Even a chief executive officer of a company is subordinate to the board of directors. The president of a country is subordinate to its people, the citizens of that country. In this short lesson, we're going to see how even Jesus Christ was subordinate to God the Father. And yet his subordination did not make him inferior to God the Father. He was equal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit in every way. But he made himself subordinate to go to the cross and to die for your sins and my sins, so that whoever would believe in what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross would live forever with him, even after death. And when Christ finished his work on earth, he was promoted to the highest position and seated at the right hand of God the Father. You might be sitting there listening to me and saying, I can accept all of that, but what does that have to do with me now? Just maybe when they wrote the Bible 2,000 years ago, they didn't realize how bad things would actually get. Well, let's put that misunderstanding to bed quickly. I can assure you, in fact, God assures all of us that nothing happens in this life or in your life without his knowing about it. There are no surprises in God's plan. For example, he knew all about South Africa. He knew all about apartheid, unfairness, and injustice. And God heard your prayers for his grace to pour down from heaven at a time when South Africa was in desperate need of healing and deliverance. And God prepares leaders for times such as those. And it was through God's grace that South Africa saw Nelson Mandela emerge as a humble Christian leader of this country, even after being in subordination to government and in prison for 27 years. In a speech at an Easter conference in April 1994, President Mandela said this. He said, "The good news borne by our risen Messiah, Jesus Christ, who chose not one race, not one country, not one language, not one tribe, but he chose all of mankind. Each Easter," he said, "marks the rebirth of our faith. It marks the victory of our risen Savior over the torture of the cross and the grave. Our Messiah, who came to us in the form of a mortal man, but who by his suffering and crucifixion attained immortality. Our Messiah, born like an outcast in a stable and executed like a criminal on the cross. These were Mandela's words. For 27 years, he had subordinated himself to the prison authorities. And he said, prison itself is a tremendous education in the need for patience and perseverance. It is above all a test of one's commitment. God provides the right man at just the right time in the right situation. Good leadership comes from knowing how to be a good subordinate. And certainly President Mandela is a leading example of this principle. I'd like to give you 4 points of what it means to be a good subordinate and hence a good leader. And we'll see exactly what the Bible has to say about the subjects. The first point is that a good subordinate has respect for authority. Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, had absolute respect for the authority of God the Father. He said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Jesus Christ is God, and he is man in one person. In Hebrews 5:8, it is said that he learned obedience from what he suffered, much as we do. And he has all of the same essence and the same attributes as God the Father. He became subordinate to God the Father as a servant, as a man to go to the cross and to bear all of the sins of mankind, to pay your debt and to pay my debt of sin, which carries the penalty of death. As man, Jesus Christ could have chosen not to go to the cross. And as horrific as it was, he still chose to obey the Father. In his anguish, he prayed to the Father. And as he prayed, sweat fell from his forehead like drops of blood falling to the ground. And he prayed, "Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me, but not my will, but your will be done." The second point of being a good subordinate is that you fulfill your promises. If you say you're going to do something, then you do it. You know how it goes. If someone consistently breaks their promises, they never show up on time, they're late for work, and they're always finding excuses for what they're not doing, then nobody's going to trust that person. Whereas a good subordinate does what he says he's going to do. And then people will come to trust and have faith in that person. You know, after Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross and was buried in the tomb, many of his trusted disciples and followers were confused and depressed, and they felt all alone. They forgot that Jesus Christ said that he would see them again in 3 days. And sure enough, 3 days after his death, there he was, as he promised in his resurrection body, as he appeared to hundreds and hundreds of people. These disciples and his apostles never again would doubt the eternal promises of God. When God says that whoever believes in his Son would never perish, but have eternal life, this is a promise that he will always keep. A third point in being a good subordinate is being teachable. Surely many of you will remember what it was like in school. If you wanted to learn something from your teacher, you had to listen. Why? Because your teacher knew more than you did. And you would have to close your mouth, open your ears, and listen in order to learn. This required an attitude of humility, an attitude of respect for authority of the teacher. The same things are true in the Christian life. God gives us Christian teachers, preachers, and pastors in local churches so that we can learn more about God. We are said to be like sheep running off in different directions, and so we need to find our own pastor, our own shepherd who can teach us more about God and the Bible. The fourth point about being a good subordinate is being able to acknowledge your own mistakes. There's nothing worse than hiding from your mistakes, trying to blame someone else and then look for excuses for what you did. This is what the first man, Adam, did. He failed as a leader, and he failed as a subordinate. He should have been providing the same spiritual protection and love to Eve that he received from God. And she would then not have been interested in some serpent trying to sell her an apple. And then of all things, when Adam was questioned by God, what did Adam say? He said, he blamed the woman. He said, the woman that you put here in the garden with me gave me the fruit and I ate it. He wasn't even man enough to stand up and take responsibility for what he did. What should he have done? He could have stood up and said, Lord, here I am. I made a mistake. I violated your command, and neither was I there to protect Eve when she needed me the most. I let her down too. I really messed up, and I stand before you here guilty. And now take Eve. What should she have done? You know, if she was a good subordinate, she would have stopped that serpent dead in his slippery tracks. She would have said, hang on there a minute, Mr. Serpent. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm going back to check with Adam, and we'll see what he knows about all of this. And then they together as a team, as a married couple, could have discussed the problem and seen what God had said about the solution. Yet they chose to disobey, just as you have the right to choose. Remember this, the choices you make determine the life you live. You can choose to succeed, or you can choose to fail. You can choose whom you want to follow. Do you want to follow that person who says, look, I really don't know where we're going or how we're going to get there, but trust me, we'll get there. Or would you rather follow Jesus Christ, who says, don't let your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going there to prepare a place for you, so that I will come back and take you with me. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so in closing, if you have not yet made the most important decision of your life, do it now. You can say privately in your own mind, I believe in Jesus Christ, and you become a child of God. God showed us his love in that while we were still sinners, Christ died as a substitute for us, and that by believing in him, he would give us eternal life. So until next time, I close and pray to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, power and authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, unto all ages, both now and forevermore. Amen. My name is Tom Molinar, and if any of you would wish to write me or email me, you may do so at info@molinar.co.za. That is info@molinar, spelled M-O-L-I-N-A-R, .coza, or you're certainly welcome to visit our website at molinarmission.com.